T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay. Fourth hour on Labor Day. Good morning, Upstate. This is the Tara Show. Tara will be back tomorrow. Sometime this week. It may be Thursday or Friday, or Thursday and Friday. I'm subbing for Charlie, though. Haven't done Charlie's show yet. Been a while since I even did that time slot. I don't remember last time I did. So, I'm looking forward to that. But I digress. The Ingalls Markets talk line is 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. Now, I talked about how the chief of, in the last hour, I talked about how the Office of Naval Intelligence reminded active duty members of Article 88, their responsibilities under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, that they're not allowed to disrespect senior government leadership, which it just makes me cringe they use that phrase. They're not allowed to show disrespect to the senior government leadership. And those kind of rules also prohibit retired military members from the same offense. How bad it must be. How bad it must be for them. If one of the deepest of deep state entities has to remind its active duty and retired military members to hold their tongues, how bad is it? Well, normally when the commander-in-chief and the executive branch of the government are respected, when the troops have faith that their elected leaders and their appointees will keep faith with them, you don't have to remind them of that. Nobody had to remind people of that when I was in the service, and I served under Reagan. In March 1993, just under 2 months after inauguration, President Bill Clinton decided he wanted to visit the nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, the USS Theodore Roosevelt. It just began a six-month deployment from Norfolk, Virginia, just the day before. Now, Clinton was known to have been a protester against the Vietnam War. Some of the protests he did were overseas, and his lack of military service, his announced visit was not very popular among the members of the ship's crew and the embarked carrier air wing. And he narrowly defeated President George H.W. Bush, who was a decorated U.S. Navy veteran, World War II hero, by securing the Electoral College votes but earning less than 50% of the country's popular vote. He had no mandate, and he did not have the military's trust. And the military was wary of the young, newly inaugurated president. So, for that reason, all embarked military personnel were given direct orders that they would not speak disrespectfully of the new president. I have been certain places where we were told not to do this and not to do that. I remember it well. If you're a non-veteran, does that surprise you? I know what you've been seeing for the last few years of Trump's run as the commander-in-chief. You see, people in the military take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, and by extension, every citizen's constitutional right to freedom of speech. But they're not allowed to exercise the same right while they wear the uniform. Article 88 of the UCMJ confirms this. This is something we understand as we go in and stay in the military. If you stay in the military long enough, you understand it. You get it. For you, to put this in the closest context, see, the military has to be very focused, laser focused on their mission. Otherwise, the distractions are too much for some, because the military and combat is very much the purview of young men. You have young men leading younger men. I mean, if I were to run up, I'm probably older now than the commander-in-chief of the, or excuse me, the chiefs of staff of most of the military branches. I mean, it is definitely not something for older men because of the physical demands of all of it. Being in the military is a little bit like a socialist undertaking. You're told what to wear, how to dress, how to cut your hair, where to go, when to go, what to say, what not to say. But here's the real problem. It is not a good indicator when the troops must be reminded that they're not allowed to speak critically about the military civilian leadership. It is not a good sign when a USMC lieutenant colonel feels compelled by the horrible events in Afghanistan to speak out publicly and completely end his 17-year illustrious military career, where he was absolutely outstanding. Absolutely outstanding, and he just threw that all away. The leadership is failing when the leadership resorts to coercion, when they make examples of dedicated and deeply concerned leaders and threaten punitive action if you dare ask tough questions and speak the truth. What they should have done with Scheller, well, you know, hang on. There's also Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer, United States Air Force, along with Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, U.S. Marine Corps, who can now be listed among those patriots who pledge their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor to the American citizenry and those core values that have defined their military service. Why has speaking the truth and doing so with the service branch's best long-term interests in mind become a career-ending decision? And the curious thing is that none of those reminders were issued when Trump held office. Then there were no prohibitions against active duty military members' disrespect to government officials. No, they, like Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, they were whistleblowers with only the highest conceivable, most earnest, and most honorable of intentions to save the Republic from the bad orange man. And I have asked publicly, where are the admirals? Where are the generals? Where are the veterans? I was thinking that about all this critical race theory nonsense they're trying to teach our military. Same question could be asked again in the present context of the debacle that is America's withdrawal from Afghanistan. It is truly sad and an embarrassment, and now it is a deadly tragedy and an insufferable loss to the families of the 13 who died. And aside from those who made public statements, I must assume that most of the military leadership is pragmatic in their approach to this challenge. Because if they all quit for the same or similar reasons of conscience, then only those who are in lockstep with the current initiative will remain. And at that point, we got real problems. We got huge problems. So by remaining at their post and at the helm, they may provide the continuity our country needs for our military to be able to fight and win. But this is a conundrum for me. And sometimes people have to make choices. One or two O5s will not be enough to alert the national consciousness to the grave threat facing our military culture and the erosion of their core values for honor, courage, and commitment. O5, by the way, is a lieutenant colonel. Lieutenant Colonel Scheller clearly identified himself in his video, and by doing so, he knew he would be held accountable. And he knew his actions were a risk. And this guy, and Lohmeyer, whatever his name is, this guy's closer to what our founders embodied. The founding fathers. Scheller is closer to the founding fathers than a lot of us. Than a lot of us. He said, what you believe in can only be defined by what you're willing to risk. And he expected to be held accountable by his senior leadership. And he expected those who were responsible for the deaths of his Marines to demand the same accountability of themselves. And that is the embodiment of servant leadership and the ethos of leadership that's part of the Marine Corps and should be part of the entire military. But it isn't. When we get back, we're going to talk about a guy named David Frum. You're listening to 106.3 WORD.
Stimulating talk and breaking news.
Done right.
This is the Tara Show on 106.3 WORD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
To Tara
on the Ingalls Markets Talk Line
at 800-347-1063.
Live and local.
This is the Tara Show.
1063 WORD.
Now, special guest host, Bill Frady.
Ingalls Markets Talk Line, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. Going to the phones, Dan. Yes, sir. Thanks for holding. We still got Dan? Did we lose Dan? Did he get tired of holding?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Dan. There you go.
Excellent.
Dan, this is the drama of live radio. Just bear with me, okay? All right.
Okay. Thanks. I just want to say thanks for working on Labor Day. The other thing I want to say is, you know, we haven't heard a peep. Or perhaps we have. I haven't heard or read anything, but we haven't heard anything from Mattis, and we haven't heard anything from Kelly. Maybe they have spoken out or written letters, but I haven't heard anything. But the reason that I called is, I don't know if you recall, but Kamala Harris referred to the situation in Afghanistan as crap. She was quoted as saying, y'all aren't going to pin this crap on me. Except she used an expletive. But the reason I bring that up is no one has asked Jen Psaki, why does Biden continue to refer to this as a success and one of the greatest evacuations in history, and his vice president is calling it S-H-I-T. Oh, I'm so sorry. Crap. Excuse me. That was my comment. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Well, the thing with it is that Kamala Harris, nobody likes Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is a deluded person. And, you know, when Biden got out there and decided to, this is the Biden administration. You notice that Trump never got out there and said, from here on out, let's call this the Trump-Pence administration. Obama never got out there and said, call this the Obama-Biden administration. And here we have this president, and he's willing to share his importance or his level because he's the chief executive. You know, the vice president, for the most part, my view of their role, they do have duties. They have a bunch of things they do. They're the president of the Senate. They do have actual officious duties. But when it comes to their actual importance to the country, I'm sort of unsure of what it is. They're the backup quarterback. They are the understudy. They need to be capable. They need to be a lot of things. In this, Kamala Harris clearly is not. She's not capable of anything. And getting out there and publicly stating anything where she's not backing her president, who she, you know, she ripped on him. She called him a racist and a whole bunch of other things in the debates. And she's clearly opportunistic. On my show, I refer to her as the Willie Brown side chick. So, you know, I look at her and I look at people like AOC and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, and I give them the same level of professional political acuity that I would give the each or the other. They're opportunistic. And she got the opportunity to be one heartbeat away from the presidency. And I wish they would go ahead and flex that 25th Amendment, make her president Kamala Harris, because then they lose the tie-breaking vote in the Senate, and now it's up to Mitch McConnell who the vice president gets to be. Won't be up to Chuck Schumer. It will not be up to the Democrats. It won't be up to Nancy Pelosi. It won't be up to the polls. It won't be up to the surveys. It won't be up to the media. It'll be up to Mitch McConnell. And if you think one person can't hold the line, I mean, for those of us in the Second Amendment advocacy, we've been all biting our nails just praying that Joe Manchin doesn't change his mind, Kyrsten Sinema doesn't change her mind in the Senate, because they've been holding the filibuster and not letting them get away with it, because they want to do away with that. They want to pack the Supreme Court. They want to do a lot of things. They want to pass that, you know, the H.R. 1, S.B. 1, which would effectively take over all the elections. And they're not able to do it because of Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. But if it becomes President Kamala Harris and they put Biden, but him and the rest home, their agenda's smoked at that point. Because if I was Mitch McConnell, and he's done it before, he did it with Merrick Garland or Garland Merrick or whatever his name is. If I'm Mitch McConnell, I'm looking at Chuck Schumer saying, well, now the shoe's on the other foot, isn't it, Chucky? I don't find Mitch McConnell to be very expressive. He should hire me. I would help him with that. Every time I see Mitch McConnell, I'm just thinking, hey, is that a formaldehyde-laced cocktail you're drinking there, Mitch? I don't know. But I also call him Cocaine Mitch, too, because there's, you know, I'm just that way. Kamala Harris, that's not exactly a show of unity, getting out there and not backing your chief executive. That's your primary job, is to stand back and just be seen and not heard. And she would do herself a great service if she did that more often. Not because she's a woman. Not because she's black, which she's not even really black as far as I'm concerned. But because she's incompetent. Incompetence is colorblind and gender blind. I don't care what she identifies as or who or what, you know, she is incompetent, totally and completely incompetent. Every time you ask her a question of any substance, she cackles like a maniacal witch who's losing her marbles. It reminds me of a Looney Tune. That's what we should call her, is Looney Tune. But I don't have a, with Kamala Harris, I don't sit back and say, well, she has differing degrees of things, and to this one, I'm going to give this attribute. She's constantly an opportunistic person, and she's constantly incompetent. But I really wish they'd make her the president today. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's get that going. Maybe we could get that done before end of business, huh? So when we get back, we'll talk about somebody named David Frum. You've heard the name. He's a turncoat. You're listening to 106.3 WORD.
The Conservative Alternative. The Dana Show. Weekdays at noon. Charlie James. And the best local talk in the upstate. 3 to 7 on 106.3 WORD.
Got a news tip or a story idea? Email news at 106.3WORD.com. I'm Roger Davis with the Tara Show on the Upstate Talk Station, 106.3 WORD.
Text Tara at 71307
on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line.
Live and local.
This is the Tara Show on 106.3 WORD.
WORD, the Upstate's talk station.
And now, special guest host, Bill Frady.
Children, there used to be these things they called the pavilion at the beach where you'd actually play games. They weren't video games. These were actual games made out of wood and, you know, steel and everything else. And Funky Town was big back in the 70s, let me tell you. We'd be playing skee ball and throwing the balls to the rhythm of Take Me to Funky Town. Ingles Markets Talk Line is 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. Now, before I go off on David Frum, who thoroughly needs some going off on, I want to share something with you that I got to do this past weekend. Part of what I do with the Lock and Load radio show is I have a YouTube channel called Lock and Load Radio 1. So I get to, my sponsors send me things to review. Guns, you know. And this past week, I got a gun, the likes of which I'll never see again. And nobody will ever see again. Because there's only 11 of them built. I have a friend in Nebraska named Joe Chambers. And Joe makes a type of, for those of you familiar with the platform, you would refer to it as the 1911. This is a double-stacked 1911, which is commonly referred to as a 2011. And in Joe's case, he refers to his as a 2019 because he's actually rearranged the way the pins work in it. And this is a, this, the pistols that Joe makes are epic. I mean, I have some very high-end builders of guns like that, and Joe's guns are by far something beyond that. And he recently was commissioned by a company called Knights Armament to build a pistol companion to one of their very special rifles. And he made 10 of those for public consumption. And in exchange, along with the money for the guns, Knights Armament built him one of their rifles to pair with his personal Night Stalker, K-N-I-G-H-T. So I got to shoot the Night Stalker this past weekend. And it was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. I posted pictures of me shooting the gun, and some of the internet Nellies out there that got out there and said, well, you should keep both of your eyes open, or you should be doing this, or you should be doing that. Listen, this gun here, all I got to do is hold it up and tell it to fire just about. I mean, the gun was so good and so well-tuned. And I'm very happy and blessed to actually know people like Joe, who builds a gun like that I get to shoot, because it's just so many light years ahead of anything out there. And there was somebody there besides us, his name is David, I think. And I said, David, would you like to shoot this gun? He's like, nah, I don't want. I said, David, you ought to shoot this gun. You're never going to get a chance like this again. And David's a believer now, aren't you, David? So to that end, I had some fun this past weekend, which is, in this world today, this is a good thing to have. It's some fun, huh? Let's go to David Frum. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And David Frum is the former speechwriter to George W. Bush. And a propagandist for the Iraq War. Recently, he published an article in The Atlantic. You would think he's a Republican, remember? He published an article in The Atlantic with a strategy of how to persuade, i.e. brainwash, you into giving up your gun. And this isn't the first time the alleged conservative has written against gun ownership. And his article oozes with condescension, but provides comic relief in the form of an accompanying cartoon that shows a person dumping a gun into a trash can, a funny throwback to Haley Biden dumping her brother-in-law boyfriend Hunter Biden's handgun into a trash can outside of a Wilmington, Delaware grocery store in 2018, which that gun was never recovered, by the way. What he's suggesting is the way to reduce gun violence is to convince you, the ordinary responsible handgun owner, that your weapon makes you and your family and those around you less safe. Setting aside the scare quotes around the word responsible, his strategy for reducing gun violence is the same strategy that sold the Iraq War to the American public, which is nonstop spin, obfuscation, and whipping up a frenzy. But Americans have stocked up on guns, and last year was a high watermark for gun violence. This is Frum's words. More people were shot dead than at any time since the 1990s, though 2021 is shaping up to be even worse. So he starts his diatribe with this insinuation of a causal link between last year's gun purchases and a crime spike, which is something that isn't born out of reality, because where the crime spike is occurring, they're not allowed to have guns. They're not allowed to have guns. So, he continues on. He says, there was one bright spot in 2020 when Americans self-isolated. Mass shooters were denied their usual targets. But as America began to return to normal, so did the mass shootings. 45 in a single month between March 16th and April 15th. There were 45 mass shootings in a single month? Wait a minute. He's using the Newspeak Dictionary 2.1 definition of a mass shooting, which now counts four or more people shot, not killed, as a mass shooting. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to take that mass shooting, and he's trying to make you think that's a Parkland or a Columbine or a Newtown, which that's a completely different animal altogether. The shooters in those kind of a shooting are going in there for sensationalism. They're going in there without emotion. They're going in there, they fantasized about this and built this up. And they go in there and they just want the highest kill count that they can get. It is not like a drug deal. He went on to use crime as a cudgel against the lawful bulk of gun owners. He said, Americans use their guns to open fire on one another at backyard barbecues, to stalk and intimidate ex-spouses and lovers, to rob an assault, and to kill themselves. Half of the almost 48,000 suicides committed in 2019 were carried out by a gun. His comment about suicide completely disregards the multifarious factors involved in suicide and goes straight after the gun. It's as if his concern isn't about suicide per se, but about gun ownership that he finds nauseating. And the legalistic approach to restricting gun ownership and reducing gun violence is failing. So is the assumption behind it. So drawing a bright line between the supposedly vast majority of responsible law-abiding gun owners and those shadowy others who cause all the trouble is a prudent approach for politicians. But it has nothing to do with the true nature of the problem. And we have to stop deceiving ourselves about the importance of this distinction. And why is he erasing any distinction between the average lawful citizen and a criminal? It's almost like it's a joke from Rush Hour. All of y'all look alike. Second Amendment community has a very solid unity in its diversity around a single purpose. We like men. We like Black America. We like Asians. We like, it doesn't matter. Your sexual preference, your creed, your religion, none of that means anything to us in the Second Amendment advocacy. We welcome all of you into this. We welcome you all here. Hello. Well, come inside, please. According to Frum, everything about guns is unsafe. But then again, Frum himself is sort of unsafe. At least the idea that he's out there still able to think and try to convince people by saying, I'm a conservative. You know what? What happens when a fact checker gets to fact check themselves? We'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to 106.3 WORD.
Attention, Terraists. Your support has made the Terra Show the best morning personality and the best news talk show in the Palmetto State, according to the South Carolina Broadcasters Association. Thank you. From 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's news talk leader.
Now, 106.3 WORD proudly presents The Terra Show.
More stimulating talk.
Here's Terra.
We now return to special guest host Bill Frady on The Terra Show.
Ingles Markets Talk Line, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. And I will be back with you on Thursday, Friday, and Monday, filling in for Mr. James. Looking forward to getting with that audience. It's been a while. Haven't gotten to talk to Money Penny in a while, or that young lady, Miss Robard. So that'll be fun. Fact checkers. After the newly anointed Gold Star families came out in unison against Joe Biden, they were fact checked. You've probably been fact-checked. I've been fact-checked. You know, that's fine. I don't mind being fact-checked. But it does matter who's fact-checking you. And, you know, like social media uses a lot of fact-checkers now. That's where you've probably been fact-checked. I love it when I get fact-checked. Because typically what I do is I then just remove that post that they've now restricted. And they've wasted all of their time fact-checking it, which, you know, I'm not naive. They probably just saw it and said, well, this goes against the narrative. False. There's a fact-checker out there named Daniel Funk. He may need to find another line of work because he seems to have a problem getting his facts right. Friend of mine wrote an article called Fake News, Fact-Checking the Media's Anti-Gun Fact-Checkers. And this is Mr. Funk, Daniel. He only focuses on conservatives and conservative issues. His stories have targeted gun owners, MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, Donald Trump, QAnon, election fraud, anti-vaxxers, and the NRA. And he provides cover for Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, mask mandates, mandatory vaccinations, and Dr. Tony Fauci. A story he wrote for Gannett's flagship paper, USA Today, in which he tried to provide cover for Biden's horrific Afghan rout, exploded after gun owners and conservatives collectively unleashed hell online. Yeah. He fact-checked stories, social media accounts, and even videos that all showed how Biden kept checking his Rolex during the dignified transfer ceremony held at Dover Air Force Base for the 11 Marines, Navy corpsmen, and Army Staff Sergeant who were murdered by a suicide bomber outside Kabul Airport. Biden did appear to check his watch during his visit to Dover Air Force Base, but he did so after the dignified transfer ceremony was over. Footage leading to this moment shows Biden with his hand over his heart for about 30 seconds as vans carry the service members' remains off the tarmac. After the vans had left, he closed his eyes briefly before dropping his arms and glancing down at his watch, he wrote. He concluded the stories and videos were partly false. I'm looking at a picture of Daniel now. He's a real Cheshire cat, let me tell you. But now, a viral photo makes it look like President Biden checked his watch during a ceremony honoring U.S. service members killed in Kabul, but that's misleading. He checked his watch only after the ceremony. The families of the 13 slain service members, conservative writers, and thousands of folks who watched the video with their own eyes exploded in anger over this bogus, politically motivated claim. Human Events senior editor Jack Posobiec I guess he tweeted, the scumbag who smeared Gold Star Mothers has all the right credentials and still smeared Gold Star Mothers anyway. But he wanted to. Then we get this, a correction and clarification. This story was updated September 2nd to note that Biden checked his watch multiple times at the dignified transfer event, including during the ceremony itself. The rating on this claim has been changed from partly false to missing context. Then conservative author and veterans advocate Mike Cernovich tweeted, "I rarely get angry. Life ain't worth it. Seething right now. Many of us lost friends. Imagine this. I hope all these families sue." Missing context. Coming up next is the Vince Coakley radio program. I'll talk to you guys on Thursday. You're listening to 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.